Internet filters that screen what can be accessed over the web are becoming commonplace in people's homes. They block access to online content that might be unsuitable, like pages that contain blacklisted keywords, as well as games and videos. Now, the purpose of all this is to protect children from being exposed to inappropriate material. But now a new study suggests that, in fact, these filters are not very effective. In fact, they may also lull us into a false sense of security, and they could even be having a negative effect because of blocking or overblocking useful content. Tom Crawford spoke to Oxford University's Victoria Nash.
Our most recent study takes some data from some Ofcom surveys, that's the communications regulator in the UK, and we carried out some analysis on that data to see whether or not there was any connection between parents that have household filters installed and the likelihood that their children, in this case 12 to 15 year olds, would have experienced any negative experiences online. Slightly contrary to my expectations, unfortunately, we didn't find strong evidence that installing these household level filters in the home provided effective protection in stopping children from having nasty experiences online.
How did you assess how effective these filters were with this data?
The data that we were using was a survey data set, which was rather nice because a lot of the time we only actually interview, say, children, if we're interested in children's responses. In this case, there were interviews carried out both with the 12 to 15 year olds and also their parents. And the data set asked the parents whether or not there were filters installed in the household. And amongst other things, it asked the children whether or not they'd experienced anywhere between, I think, 1 in 7 different types of sort of, call them aversive experiences online. Really, it means just, you know, sort of nasty, unpleasant things. And the analysis really that we carried out, I won't go into the statistics, thankfully, but effectively it was looking to see if there's any correlation between those two factors. And, you know, what we found was that for those that had filters at home, they were no less likely to have experienced these things online than those that didn't.
And how common was it for a child to experience something aversive or negative online?
The most common experience that they'd had online, which was experienced by about 8% of people, was being contacted by somebody they didn't know who wanted to be their friend. Interestingly, much more common for girls than for boys. I mean, I suppose that's one perhaps to be a little bit careful about, because certainly I know a lot of parents and carers might think that's alarming. It's often presented as such, certainly in sort of policy discussions. But certainly from, say, you know, a teen's perspective, that could also just mean that they're being contacted by somebody with their interests in their age group whom they want to talk to. And then other things that were sort of slightly less common were things like sort of seeing sexual content or being cheated out of money or feeling under pressure to share information.
Sort of the example you gave about meeting strangers online, like I would imagine that's very, very difficult for a filter to block. Because as you said, it can be positive. You know, you can make friends online. And,
right.
But then sort of filtering out sexually explicit images or things about drugs or something, that I would guess would be much easier to block out with a filter. And as you said, you would definitely expect that with a filter present, that kind of material would be less available than when the filter wasn't there.
That's right. And then, you know, obviously we can't be sure about what the explanations for that might be. One suggestion certainly is that these days so much of children's internet use is actually outside the home that obviously a filtering in the home only controls, if you like, sort of a portion of their experience. It's also the case that so much these days can be exchanged, for example, say on a peer-to-peer basis. It's essentially, you know, quite straightforward for this sort of material to be, you know, exchanged and seen.
And I guess, of course, the kids could be lying. They could be bypassing these filters.
Right. Right, absolutely. So, you know, again, we did want to check this out because this is a concern often raised that the more technically able children will simply be able to just work around filters and that this will expose them to more risk. Luckily for us, this was again a question that was asked in the Ofcom survey. You know, again, we had to be a bit careful about the result because you can imagine that some children would not be happy saying that they had tried to circumvent filters. But certainly, you know, on the basis of the findings in that survey, there seems to be no difference between those that said they circumvented the filters and those, again, that didn't.
So what would be the way forward?
Personally, I am not saying we shouldn't use filters. I recognise that certainly for parents, they represent one useful tool that they would like to have in their repertoire. But I think for me, it suggests that we should be doing an awful lot more to educate children, to educate parents. You know, this is very difficult. It's a very difficult message to get across, for example, to parents saying, yes, you should let your little children use the internet and here's how to help them not see things that you might find worrying or how to deal with it. But I think we need to focus more on that. I also think that there's a lot more to be done around what we might term building resilience. So ensuring that if children do encounter risky material or experiences online, that they learn how to, you know, get away from it, or how to ensure that the risk is not significant.
So like all these things, it comes down to education. Victoria Nash from Oxford University was speaking with Tom Crawford, and the work she was discussing was published in the Journal of Paediatrics.